The Daily Mirror calls on you.
Football is about nothing unless it's about something, and what it is about.
I am going to get 100% out of you.
Welcome to another Mirror Football podcast with me, Steve Anglesey. Later on, we'll be talking football manager and football nostalgia. But first, the Presbury Prima Ballerina. Come in, Robbie Savage. How are we?
I love your analogies every week, mate. You know, I love it.
Now, first of all, I mean, let's talk about your life's mental now, isn't it?
Yeah, Tell me, mate.
We're recording this on Thursday morning. Tell me what you're doing today.
Today, I want to know, mate, where it's all been wrong. I've gone wrong for me in my life. I woke up this morning, had breakfast, went to Radio 1, done Radio 1 show, sat in Knight Rider, the car Knight Rider. So I sat in that rider, going training now with Ola Jordan from Strictly. Then I'm having my photo with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers cheerleaders. And then I'm doing It Takes Two, and then going dancing again. So it's just a normal day in my life at the minute. Where did it all go wrong?
Very good. All right, well, let's move on to the other main events of the weekend then. The Manchester Derby, obviously, yeah. Sunday lunchtime. What are you thinking in terms of your great friend Roberto Mancini vindicated in midweek when he took off Adam Johnson? Adam Johnson shaking his head again, but not doing the full Tevez. He takes him off. He pushes Yaya Toure further up, and yeah. City score more or less straight away. Does Adam Johnson start every week for you? I don't know.
I just think City have got that many players, mate. You know, Roberto could go to United and play, you know, whatever formation he wants. See, for me, I'd go there and go for it. I would, mate. I think Dzeko and Aguero, you know, I'd go two up top. I would. I think Dzeko looks good. I know he missed a few chances tonight, but for me, you know, the big powerful set forward, Aguero just... Yes, you could... Was Nasri injured tonight? Did he play?
He played, yeah.
You'd have Nasri... My starting line would be, I'd go Dzeko and Aguero. I'd go Silva. See what I'd do. I'd play 4-1-3-2. Just cutting that my head. That's right. I'd go the back four. Then I'd play. Me personally, I'd play Yaya Toure in the hole for the back four. Mm. Then I'd play Silva left. Nasri in the middle, and I'd probably play Johnson on the right, coming inside with his left foot, because I think you need a cross of the ball when Dzeko, and I played Dzeko and Aguero up front. I think that formation is it can be so defensive, but it can be so attacking. You know, the 4-1-3-2 formation. I just think with Dzeko on the team, you know, Johnson's delivery is fantastic, and I think on the right side, cutting in, you know, with Silva and Nasri, Dzeko and Aguero, man, I tell you what, that'll take some beating. But I just think United will have too much for them. I do. I think there'll be a lot of goals. I think I'm going 3-2 United. I just think that it's the most anticipated derby, eagerly awaited derby for, well, ever, is it, do you think?
Well, it must be the first time in over 40 years that they've been 1-2 in the Premier League this far into the Premier League. Yeah. So,
I still think, though, mate, I still think there's more pressure on United. I do, because, you know, I do, because they're Man United and Man City are the up-and-coming, and people expect, even though City has spent all these millions and millions of pounds, I still believe there's no pressure in this game for Roberto, because people will expect United to win. And yes, they do, because that'll happen. You know, the tables might be turned when it goes to East, or the City's new stadium. Mm. You know, and City are top of the league then, but I think at this point in time, United are the favourites. And big game for Wayne Rooney, mate. He's got two in Madrid, two great penalties, you know, calmly taken. But I think after being left out against Liverpool, I think he'll come back and he'll be fired. I expect Rooney to have an outstanding game. I'm going 3-2 United. Where can City win it? I just think they have to go for it, mate. You know, I listened to, I think it was Gary Neville or Phil Neville, you know, saying that you have to win the Premier League. The Premier League doesn't come to you. And I think if City want to be real, you know, the real deal, I think they've got to go there and go for it. I think the fans would rather see them, you know, going for it and getting beat than remember the game 4-3 with Sparky took charge of?
Yes, yes.
And Bellamy was on fire. That was one of the best games I've seen, because City went for it. And I think if they have that same approach, you know, they can do it. Of course City can win, but yeah. I just think United will.
Yeah, and then, I mean, obviously, they did go for it with Sparky. They did get beat in the last... in the
it was
last,
a great game, wasn't it?
It was a great game, yeah. It was a great game, and then the games last year were the three games last year were not great, were they? There was the great, there was the overhead kick.
Overhead kick.
But it was not that was not a great game. The other one, the City home one, was not a great game, and the one at Wembley was, you know, I don't know what happened to United that day, but they just didn't show up after they just went home after the first 10 minutes. Didn't
I thought City's performance in the semi final against United was they were different class.
Yeah, well, yeah.
They were a different class, mate, and then. Even at Chelsea Shield, I thought United were the better team in the Community Shield, sorry.
Yes.
I just think that will Roberto go with the safety option, the one in the hole behind Aguero or Dzeko? You've got to play Aguero. I'd do that formation 4-1-3-2. I think it's, you know, you can get at United. If you look at United's back four, Ferdinand will play, for me, still immense. I think without Ferdinand, you know, United will... with Ferdinand the team, United are much, much, much stronger. You know, I know he's getting on a bit, but I believe that. I think he's a calm head at the back. Vidic is back. You know, so Ferdinand Vidic. You know, I just think that the movement of Aguero is fantastic. So,
yeah.
And look, mate, I can't wait. I cannot
no,
wait.
No, I mean, I think that is a good. That's a good reason for him to play Aguero and Dzeko, you know. I think you're right. I think Dzeko needs Adam Johnson. You saw in that Spurs game, they absolutely destroyed Spurs with just getting to the byline and getting crosses across, causing confusion.
Turning. If you're playing Johnson on the right, he can cut in.
And I think Patrice Evra can be got
can
at now.
And
you
deliver,
know.
You know, them in swingers are so hard to defend, mate.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So hard.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. I totally agree.
I've got to say, was that Milner's first pass the other night?
Yes, lovely, wasn't
what
it?
What a pass that was from James Milner.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's played well. What about United's midfield then? I mean, that's constantly shifting as well, isn't it? They weren't great at the weekend, and they weren't really that great in midweek either, were they?
I think they're famous in the league, but I just think that they're just a world-class midfielder short. I honestly do. I honestly do. That X factor, the play in the middle of the park, do you know what I mean? I just think that Schneider would have been an ideal choice. You know, I don't think United's midfield world class, personally. I think it's very, very good and, you know, far better than I'd ever be. But, you know, when you look at Barcelona, even City, is United's midfield in that league? I'm not sure.
Do you think that it'll be his normal sort of big game midfield, which is quite destructive, isn't it? It's usually, you know, he'll have Anderson in there. He'll have Park in there running around. He'll have Darren Fletcher in there. Do you think it's going to be that, or do you think he might?
Well, listen, Fergie's at the end of the day, mate. Fergie's a master. You know, I've listened to a few radio shows, and some people question Fergie's technical Liverpool. Like, how can you question Sir Alex Ferguson? That man gets his spot on 99%
yeah.
of the time.
Yeah, well.
Whatever he does, he'll be the right choice because he's the master doing it. And they're good players. Fletcher's a good. They're all fantastic players. I just think they lack in that midfield. You know, to compete with Barcelona this year, that one player.
Yes. Yes. So you're going for 3-2?
I'm going 3-2 United.
Excellent. Okay. I mean, Nani's a big. Nani has always done well against City, hasn't he? Or he's done well in the last few games against City.
Yeah, Nani. I've got to say, Nani's on fire.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, and I think, you know, City can be got at. You know, I think they can. Yeah. The fullbacks are the weakness, aren't they? Really.
Yeah, you got Clichy, and Clichy's not really settled in. And Micah Richards, is Micah Richards fit?
He is fit. Yeah.
I think he's a top player, mate. I like Micah Richards.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, Micah Richards will be my England right back.
Well, I can't understand why he's not in the team personally.
For me personally.
He's not even in the squad.
I know.
It seems bizarre, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So good luck on Saturday night, mate, and we'll speak to you next week.
Mate.
Okay, well, here we are in London's fashionable jet lag bar with Miles Jacobson, head honcho of the tremendous Football Manager series. Football Manager 2012 about to come out. Miles, first of all, you've been responsible for this for many years. How many marriages have you ruined with this?
What, through the game?
Personally? No, personally first.
Personally, probably none, in all honesty. I'd love to think that I've been responsible for some of them going wrong at some point, but no, definitely not. The game, we don't know. We know that in 1 year we were cited in 37 divorce cases.
It needs a health warning, doesn't it, really? But it is a fantastic thing, and the new edition of the game is really good.
Thank you very
much. When you've got the game, well, you've got various iterations of the game, like many people have, and they've been building up Leicester City through the ages, and now they're in 2022. Mm-hmm. Why should they buy this game? Why should they buy this year's game?
To be honest, and this is the most stupid answer I can probably possibly give, and I'll get killed by Sega for it, but if you're still enjoying FM11, carry on playing FM11. That's fine. We're here to try and entertain people with our work. And with FM12, it's a much better game than FM11. There's over 800 new features. There's a lot more polish. And I'm certainly enjoying it a lot more. But as long as we're entertaining people, it doesn't really matter to me. But I would advise everyone, if you haven't decided yet whether you're going to get the new game, or if you've been playing for a long time, go and grab the demo. You can get it from footballmanager.com. It's completely free. Try it out, and then you can decide for yourself whether you want to get the new edition, because I personally believe that anyone who does that is going to rush out and get it straight away. So,
it really is good. It's not just the highlights thing, is it? The whole way you've dealt with dealing with players is much more complex. I've already ruined my relationship with Edin Dzeko after about 4 weeks. Carlos Tevez, happy for now. But
okay, well that's good.
So it's progress, isn't it?
Okay. And having the tone system in there that we have, where you can basically use six different tones when you're talking to people, is certainly a big change for the way that you do interact with the players. Because the players inside the game, we want people to think that they're human. And before, they were a little bit too robotic. So now you get to learn more about their personalities. And as you say, Dzeko and Tevez do react in different ways to different things, in the same way as they did on the bench Man City the other week.
The other night, yeah. I mean, I'm also joined here by Dan Silver, who's my partner in crime, Mirror Football. He's the games editor of the Sunday Mirror. Dan, I mean, it's a fantastic game, isn't it?
It is. I mean, Miles, how do you decide which features to put in each year? I mean, you must have a wish list a mile long.
At the moment, our features database has got around 2,000 in, and there's about 500 more to go in there. And what we do is we sit down every year in November for a couple of weeks, literally the whole studio get together and sit in a room, and we vote every single idea that we've got, which gives it a priority. Then in December, I sit there with everything that's in there, so all the old features that we voted for that haven't made it in yet, and all the new stuff, and I put together a feature list a bit like a jigsaw puzzle, trying to make sure that there's something for the casual user, something for the hardcore user, and for everyone in between. And that's kind of how it all comes together. And then the dev team start working on it, and then round about February, March time, we look at timelines closer and things get cut. Despite the fact there's 800 new features this year, we probably cut about 400.
What didn't make the cut?
Oh, that's so difficult, because that gives away some things that will be in there next year. There's quite a bit of international management stuff that we wanted to do this year that we're going to look at again next year. There were some features that came up in last year's meeting that have taken longer than a year. So those things have to go back to next year. And an example of that would be the Add Remove Leagues feature that's in there this year, where you can add other countries' leagues as you go along. We've been working on that for 2.5 years.
Right.
That was meant to be an FM09.
Nice.
But it wasn't right when we did it for FM09. So then we were looking at 10 and then realised it wasn't going to be right for that either, so then move that to 11. So a lot of my role there as the director of the game is actually deciding what to cut without it affecting people who are playing it.
Are there any outlandish features that get suggested and clearly someone's been on the source the night before and it's like, no, we're not going to do nightclubs and...
Streakers. Streakers get brought up pretty much every feature meeting. Bribery gets brought up pretty much every feature meeting. I think our licensees are really going to enjoy it if we have bribery in the game.
How would you implement streakers?
We wouldn't. That's why we don't do it. You're going to have very small 2D people running around with nipples. basically, rather than shirts. So that's not going to happen.
There's nothing wrong with this for me. But this is a bold new concept.
The most stupid one was actually one of mine, which got rejected by everyone else, which is I wanted to have it, so that if you've been playing the game for a lot of years, around about 2020, there would be a random chance that aliens would land on the Earth, and that the aliens could have up to 30 for pace, because they had three legs rather than two. For some reason, that one didn't make it in.
That needs to be an Easter egg.
There is one new Easter egg in the game this year, but I'm not going to tell anyone what it is. Telling anyone.
You'll find out for yourself.
Yeah.
It always astonishes me that footballers, I was talking to a footballer today, he goes home after playing football, training for football, he goes home and he plays FIFA all afternoon with his mates, Pro Evo with his mates. Do any managers that you know of play this?
And footballers,
yeah, right.
Yeah, we've got around 40 footballers and managers who help us beta test the game.
Yes.
From around the world, so we don't have commercial deals with any of them, so we don't say who they are. There was a story a few years ago when Gareth Barry and Lee Hendry were kids at Aston Villa. They got it written into their contract that the coaches for away games would have plug sockets in, because they didn't want to play cards, they wanted to sit there and play FM. So there are a bunch of footballers who play the game, and we talk, and I talk on a weekly basis to players, managers, scouts, chief execs, because they help improve the game.
I mean, secret fans of the game as well, outside of football, do you get any kind of comeback from that? I know, obviously, Prince Charles is a huge fan of the game.
I don't think Prince Charles actually plays it. And Jason Manford is well known as being a fan. He's spoken about it a lot, as has Robbie Williams, Paolo Nutini. There's a bunch of comedians, musicians, actors, including some Hollywood actors, which is very strange, who got into football off the back of our game.
So we shoehorn Prince Charles in clumsily there, but one of the things that people might not know about you is that through your work with this and your work that's taken, extended it into football at large, you've been given a nice medal. You got the OBE, which made your mum very proud, as I know.
Yep.
I mean, what was that like? What was it for, first of all? What specifically?
It was specifically for services to the games industry, but I actually found out afterwards that some of the people who put me forward for it were from the charities I do work with, because we do a lot of work with War Child. They get a donation for every game that we sell. Do a lot of work with Nord of Robins, and lots and lots and lots of work with Kick It Out or One Game, One Community, and Kick Racism Out of Football. So, but officially it was for services to the games industry. And to be honest, I find it all a bit strange, because it's not as if I'm out there saving lives or anything like that, but
just ruining lives, basically. Some would say, Miles. I've got one more, and it is, one of the things I always hear is when a team signs a relatively obscure player from Eastern Europe or so-and-so, and it used to be Manchester City would sign these players, right? And
yep.
they would invariably be totally useless, and people would always say, he's brilliant on Football Manager. Who is the ultimate player who's been not you know, not come to fruition, but was great on Football Manager? Who you spotted first.
We've spotted thousands of players first. But my favourite little story like that was actually last year when Hatton Ben Arfa joined Newcastle. And Alan Shearer on Match of the Day was going, "Who's Hatton Ben Arfa?" And there were hundreds of thousands of Football Manager fans going, "Dude, we've been signing him for 3 years." So that was quite funny. But I think the most famous player who didn't make it, just because he was absolutely world class in the game, was a kid called Tonton Zola Makuku, who was at Derby as an 18-year-old, and it's actually a really sad story. Oh. because his dad was his mentor, and his dad died when he was about 19, and he didn't care about football anymore. He's told us this story, and he's still playing. He's playing the Swedish second division, and he's still got the skill, but he just didn't have the drive and determination to make it. Then the other one's a guy called Tom Madeira, who didn't exist. And one of our Portuguese researchers got sacked for that one.
Miles Jacobson, that's been a pleasure and a privilege. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you
very much.
Good
luck with the game. It's a great game. Go out and buy the game.
Out today.
Thanks very much to Miles Jacobson there. From the Jet Lag Bar, we're now back in the Mirror Football Studios. Now, it's always been a big thing I wanted to do on the Mirror Football podcast is to bring great football books to your attention. In the last year, we've talked to Anthony Clavain about his great Leeds United book, to Mick Rathbone about his book, to Paul Lake about his fantastic Man City book. This book is equally good, if not better. It's called Got Not Got, The A to Z of Lost Football Culture, Treasures and Pleasures. And it is written by Derek Hammond and Gary Silk, who are here with us now. Derek, hello.
Hello, Steve.
Gary, hello.
Hello, Steve.
The strapline on this book says, football used to be better in the past, and we can prove it. How can you prove it?
Oh, well, we can prove it in about 240 different ways, Steve. Some quite serious, but mainly side-splitting. Stuff that people remember from back in the day, you know, going to football in the 70s, 80s. Would you like a few examples?
Let's have a few examples.
Let me pass you over to my co-author.
For instance, a child today cannot go to the newsagent and buy Roy of the Rovers. What sort of world is that?
It's a cruel world, isn't it?
That's poor, isn't it? And what about the Superfan Loud Hailer? Do you recall those, Steve?
I don't remember the Superfan Loud Hailer.
Imagine, if you can, it's a crossover. It's a bit like a vuvuzela. It's a bit like a directional loud hailer with a built-in electric siren, briefly available in the 1970s. Imagine how that would jazz up the modern game. Do you not think that would make the...
It would be, yeah. I mean, I'd like to... I would like to see the reintroduction of the rattle and obviously the old beer crate, which your old dad used to pass down the stand so you could sit at the front,
exactly.
Stand up at the front and be able to see over the sort of the dugout terraces.
That's right. Well, the magic of football. I mean, when was the last time you were passed down over people's heads to get to the front of the cup? It doesn't happen anymore.
No.
It's proof, isn't it, really?
No, I mean, it was probably in the pub on Saturday night, but that's not to take anything away from this great tome, which obviously, as you can hear, is all about great sort of football ephemera, great things that we've lost. Your shoot team tabs, your Peter Barnes football trainer, these kind of things, great things that we all grew up with as kids, or men of a certain age grew up with as kids, which are now gone from our sanitised game.
Did you ever have a Peter Barnes football trainer?
My brother had a Peter Barnes football trainer. It was a very flimsy thing. What was the Peter Barnes football trainer? Who Peter Barnes played for Manchester City, played for West Brom, England, Leeds United. He even played for Manchester United, I'm afraid.
This was a skill practicing aid that clipped onto the waistband of your shorts.
Correct.
And had a ball on a long piece of elastic. But the ball they provided was very unsatisfactory and too light for a good full-blooded volley. So we substituted a real leather, tied it onto the adapter, and one guy hoofed it a real hard volley and ripped his shorts. Because obviously they'd worked out the weight in the way.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And I mean, the book's full of these kind of things, isn't it? The great I can't remember what the lolly was, but
goal lollies.
The goal lolly. Yeah, so this was like a fab sort of style lolly, wasn't it?
Oh, you don't get them anymore.
And
what
when
it
you
was.
Ate the lolly, underneath there was a plastic stick, but it was in the shape of Kevin Keegan, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was actually hard to tell apart from the real thing. It was about
it was a 1-to-1 scale, wasn't
about
it,
2 inches high, yeah, that's right. I mean, you don't see kids painting up their Kevin Keegan lolly sticks anymore, do you?
No.
I don't know. But
they're all with their FIFA and their football manager, as we've just been talking about. Kids, they don't know they're born, do they, kids today? We sound like very old men, which of course we are.
I know, but it's fun, isn't it, looking back on... The book is... You know, a lot of the feedback we've been getting, you know, is... obviously, it's full of football stuff, but lots of non-football material in there as well. The Kay's catalogue springs to mind.
Why is the Kay's catalogue in your book?
Well,
it's not the shower section, is it, which used to be a particular favourite of mine, or the women's lingerie?
Well, that does loom large, actually. It looms large in my memory of the 1970s, so here it is in the book. I mean, the for people who don't remember, I mean, hopefully a few listeners will remember, but the Case catalogue was an enormous, it was like the Argos catalogue, yes, times five. I mean, it was more or less like a printout of the entire internet, and you could go through there and just drool over Action Man footballer, for example. He was fantastic.
Who did he play for, the Action Man footballer?
Well, you could get him in. You could get him in probably 8, 9, 10 different club kits. Unfortunately, Action Man footballer, because there wasn't much action involved with Action Man, was there? He had a little stand that you stood him on when he was playing football, dressed him in his kit, and he wasn't really very good. Nobody bought Action Man footballer at all. And the direct upshot of that is that these days is worth an absolute fortune on eBay. If I were to ask you, Steve, for the Tottenham Hotspur Action Man kit.
Yeah, is this a sort of Leslie Crowther style interlude? Are you asking me to come on down?
Come on down in many ways.
In excess of £60?
Yes. The badge given away in the Tottenham Hotspur Action Man football kit, just the badge, not the kit. How much do you think it was sold for on eBay last year?
Well, I'm going to say £100.
Higher.
We could keep going, couldn't we? Tell me how much
it was. It was £626.
Blimey, O'Reilly, and I've thrown all of this stuff away.
I know.
So what's valuable then? I know this isn't a sort of book of pricing up things that are valuable on eBay. It isn't that kind of book. It's a good, fun book. But what are really valuable? Is the Peter Barnes football trainer worth anything?
It's what is fun is that a lot of stuff isn't valuable at all. And a programme you bought for 20p in 1972... goes for about 20p now.
Good. That's good. What about the... I mean, we touched on the Action Man there. What about the... There were sort of alternatives to Subutio, weren't there, which I know there's some of those in the book. What were they?
The big competitor to Subutio was Striker.
Was that when you pressed down the heads?
Press the head down, kick the ball.
Very
obviously,
flimsy, wasn't it?
You had to be careful. Press down too hard, you've either got a broken neck or a broken ankle.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, and Subutio, as Derek and I have said in private, was there was a heavy casualty rate there, wasn't there, as well?
Oh, that was serious pain, wasn't it? When you knelt on your left winger, he used to get his head right up under in the gristle under your kneecap. That's something you'll never forget. And you know, if you ever have a flick at the book in W.H. Smith's, it'll bring that pain flooding back to you. What about Gary? Did you ever have the I never had it, but Gary's a bit better off than I ever was. He might have had the Subutio AstroTurf version. Did you have that? That was different to the
Yes, I did indeed. Even though it came out in the mid 80s when I was probably getting a little bit old for Subutio, somebody bought it for me. And I could never work out the difference why that was artificial when the normal Bayes Subutio pitch wasn't artificial.
So
what was the difference? It burnt more. You could get a carpet burn off it.
It was a little ridgy, wasn't it? I seem to remember. There was a slight ridge to it. But, you know, Subutio was fantastic. And once again, you know, the sort of the collecting of the TV tower and the giant scoreboard and the manager in his camel coat and the little bench, and it was a marvellous land. But of course we see it all, you know, through rose tinted glasses, don't we? Nowadays I can look on the internet, I can look on my phone and see what the, you know, who's doing well in League Two. Back in those days, I would have had to return home to my bedroom where I had painstakingly done the shoot league ladders. What were the shoot league ladders?
Well, it was really just a piece of cardboard given away free with a football comic with little slots that you put little tabs in. And it was a wonderful invention because it enabled you to see where your club was in the Football League. Now, if you came home from a football match on a Wednesday night, now, obviously, you just look at Mirror Football Co. UK
Maybe
and find... then that wasn't a possibility. But you could take the 2 points that your team had earned, and you could work out the league table. And just to stare at it, you could stare at it for 20 or 30 minutes at a time, and it was a wonderful thing, wasn't it, Steve?
It was magnificent, but it was just a giant pain in the arse to do, wasn't it? Because, first of all, you had to wait, and you're trying to take the things down from the... If you wanted to do it on a Saturday night when you came in from the match, right, you had to be listening in the car when they read the league tables out, and then take them down... You know, while your dad was in the pub and you were outside with your crisps and that. And then you had to get home and do it all, and then it'd change it. There'd be a game on Tuesday night, so it'd all change. And obviously, by middle of September, it was all forgotten about, wasn't it? And you were just busy putting Alloa Athletic into Division 1 and all of that, and Liverpool were on the bottom of
The real beauty of the team tabs, as we all know, is you could take Liverpool out from the top spot in the first division and put your team in.
Yes. It was very, very, very good. What else should people look out for in the book? What are people going to be stunned by in this book that they... Because obviously lots of people know about Sabutio, lots of people know about team tabs. What's going to knock their socks off?
I think there's two sides to this book, and the other side is how irritating modern football has become in many ways. It's small things. Last night I went to see Leicester City v Watford.
Yeah.
And Watford shipped up in a white kit, and there's no need for it. I've seen Watford play Leicester City 50 times, I would imagine, and every time they've done it, we've been in blue, they've been in yellow, it works. Last night they deserved to lose 2-0 just for that.
What's your personal favourite in this book, Derek?
My personal favourite would have to be the Coventry City girl of the match, I think. I mean, I've done it again, haven't I? I've gone straight back to the underwear section of the case catalogue. There is a theme.
The pattern's emerging.
And I apologise to all right-minded listeners. However, the Coventry girl, the idea of having a young lady, I won't say scantily clad, She was tastefully dressed, but on the back page of a programme. They don't do that anymore.
No, I mean, where the teams should be, or were they in the centre?
It was a big programme that Coventry City had, and that was on the centre spread, and the girl of the match on the back. It frankly brings tears to my eyes, and I think just flicking through the book, tears. Will hopefully
flow.
Springing from the eyes of anybody who might have a flick at it. You know, it's
It is a fantastic book. I mean, there's so much in it from what we've discussed to football comics to great stuff about the old intercity match trains, and it's like the I Love the 1980s of football, only without Lisa Rogers pretending to remember things that she couldn't possibly remember at her age, although obviously she is quite an attractive lady, I'm sure you'll point out to Derek. So the book is called Got Not Got, it's the A to Z of Lost Football Culture, Treasure and Pleasures. It's published by Pitch. It's 1999. It's annual shapes. Look for it as an annual shape, and you really should get it. What else can we say about this book, Derek?
Well, one thing that we haven't really touched on. I mean, it is annual shape, but it is a big fat book. There are 1,000 pictures in the book, and the Mirror Football site was kind enough to help us out with some fantastic archive shots, which obviously the book needed that, and that's I came to you cap in hand.
Yes,
and,
there are great pictures that are on our website, and some that aren't in there. Is Freddie Starr at Superstars dressed up as Hitler? Is he in there?
Superstars.
Has he got a Hitler cap and a cigar on?
Oh yes.
With Rodney Marsh and George Best.
Yeah, just for Superstars, for example, we've got the Mirror archive footage, but Gary's also got the game. This is what we're doing throughout the book. Really, it's fantastic stuff from back in the day, memories, pictures. And a bit of grumpiness about the modern game, because that's what we talk about down the pub, isn't it, really?
Superb. Well, I must go off to do some squat thrust now in tribute to Brian Jacks. You've been listening to Robbie Savage, to Miles Jacobson, Gary Silk and Derek Hammond. Again, the books Got Not Got, The 8Z of Lost Football, Culture, Treasures and Pleasures, and we will see you back on the Mirror Football Podcast next week.
The Daily Mirror calls on you.
Football is about nothing unless it's about something, and what it is about.
I am going to get 100% out of you.
Oh, well, of course, you're busy, it's a different life.